Welcome to TMP, TM podcast number 3. It's March 2013. We have 9.0 in general availability. So that is what we talk about today. And today we have a very special guest from India, Arundhati Buddhas, from the development team in India, working on the TCM master data. So that is also our topic today. TCM master data, an overview. Yeah, Arundhati, you may introduce yourself, just a few words about your TM history, and then we can jumpstart into our topic.
Okay, so my name is Arundhati, and I have been working with the TM team for exactly 2 years now. So actually,
congratulations!
And I started off working with the team 9, or the charge calculation engine team. I worked with that team for 6 months, and then I moved to the master data team. So
you know both sides.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good. So let's jump into our topic. So I think at a very, from a very high level, maybe we can just first talk about the objects. We will deep dive into a bit later. So high level, what are the elements, master data elements we have in charge calculation? And maybe just briefly what it is, and then we can in the next round dive a bit deeper.
Yeah. So basically, when we talk about the charge calculation master data, it refers to all the objects which would be used when you hit the charge calculation button on an order. And so what happens is a contract is determined between the organization and the business partner, which is present in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that agreement is picked up, it would have a listing of what kind of charges are to be applicable for this order.
Mm-hmm.
And then the corresponding rating. So how are the rates calculated? So this is basically what the master data objects would hold.
Mm-hmm.
It would hold a contract,
which is the agreement. Freight or forwarding agreement, right? Maybe that's also interesting point. So we cover both the buying and the selling side. In the buying side, it would be the forwarding agreement. The freight agreement, because we have freight orders.
Yeah.
And in the selling side, so if I to earn my money for freight forwarders, carriers, it would be the forwarding agreements.
Yes.
So that is basically my contract, right? Frame of the contract. Okay, good. Then you mentioned other elements as well. So maybe we can also go into that one. So the calculation sheet, I think, is one more. So what is just high level in the first round? What do we define in that calculation sheet?
Okay, so the calculation sheet would basically have a list of all the charge types that you want to include in a particular, so it's like a menu for the different kind of prices you want to apply.
So it's just
Could be basic freight charges, then you could have some packaging charges on it. There could be some adjustment factors like the currency adjustment or bunker adjustment, etc. There could be some discounts. So different charge types can be configured in the customizing, and then you could include these charge types in a calculation sheet.
Okay, the charge type would first of all represent a kind of cost, or in the buying side it would be cost, and on the selling side it would be my revenue I can charge. Okay, but not the real value or so, but just that I have that kind of cost or revenue element or charge element in my calculation sheet. So that's only the possible option, but not the price. I wouldn't have like 500 euro or rupee or a dollar already in that calculation sheet, right?
That may or may not happen.
Okay, good. So we may come to that later, but let's say, okay, so we have the freight or forwarding agreement, but it's just the framework of the contract.
Yeah.
Then we have the calculation sheet, which has the charge elements that I may or may not have, with or without prices.
With or without prices.
Okay, then.
So what can happen is against a particular charge type, you could directly enter a value saying that for packaging fee, I would always have 100 euros, for example.
Okay.
Or what can happen is there could be something called a rate table attached with every charge type.
Ah, so we come to the next element already, right? Which is the rate table then. Okay, so what is a rate table, high level?
So a rate table is something that we have in the master data objects when you don't know the exact number that you want to put against a charge type, but then that number or the amount that you want to charge is going to depend on a lot of different factors.
Okay.
For example, the weight of the freight that you are transporting or the distance, or there are a lot of other factors which could define the cost.
Okay. Okay.
So,
so if it's not a simple cost, like a flat cost, I would need a rate table to define it. And we dive into that one later on. You already mentioned like distances or so, and that sounds already like scales.
Exactly.
Which is then our last element, right?
Yes. So a scale is exactly what the word means. So so we have, so what you can do is define a lot of different values on a scale. So that is something what we call scale items. For example, you can have rates per 1,000 kgs, rates per 2,000 kgs, etc. So you would have scale items like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 kgs in your scale. And these scales, when we include them in a rate table, we call them dimensions.
Okay.
So I could have a maximum 9-dimensional rate table. That means I can have rates varying on 9 different factors.
Okay. So maybe we come to that later if we deep dive into that different topics. But okay, so high level, we have that agreement. Then we say, what are the freight agreement? Just to summarize that one. Then we have the calculation sheet, which defines the different possible charges. Maybe if it's simple enough already with the price. If it's not simple enough, I need a rate table to determine that charge, which is then somehow linked. We come to that later. And if that rate table has dimensions, multiple dimensions, I would need the scales to bring that to life, to maintain it. Okay, I think that's, from a high level over that, that's it, right? So that is the master data that we really have in charge calculation.
Yes. So if you have these four objects defined, then you can have a lot of charge determination in place already.
Okay. So let's go one level deeper then. So we started with the freight / forwarding agreement. That is the contract, right? And
yes.
I think one interesting aspect is, as we said, it's buying and selling side, but technically it's the same thing, or is it two different BOs, or what is the difference between a freight and a forwarding agreement? That's one from business, and then also technically that would be interesting, I think, for audience.
So from the functional side, they are two different things, two different entities, but technically we just have one business object representing both of them, and we kind of differentiate between them based on something called a usage code. So if you're going to use this particular agreement on the buying side or on the selling side.
Okay.
And subsequently, all of the child objects like the calculation sheet and rate tables, etc., would also inherit this usage code from the agreement.
Okay, so you would decide, I now make my freight agreement, I'm freight forwarder, and I make a freight agreement with my freight agreement with my carrier where I buy my stuff, and then set it up accordingly. And with my customers, I would have the forwarding agreement. But technically, let's say if it's a similar structure, that the both elements would be very similar, right?
Technically. So technically, structurally, they are pretty much similar.
Which is pretty
cool. You would find both kind of agreements in the same database table. So.
And same BO also, right?
Same BO.
What is the name of that BO?
It's called the SCMTMS Freight Agreement BO.
Okay.
It's called the Freight Agreement BO, but it has the forwarding agreements also.
Yeah.
Okay. And apart from the freight and forwarding, we also have something called internal agreements in place. So these are basically agreements which are used to calculate internal costs within the same company, but different orgs.
Yeah. I make a shameless plug now to the LCL podcast. It's episode 4, where we touch that also a bit, that internal settlement for the export-import process. Yeah. So here, both episodes may come together. So the same technical object, same structure.
Yes, still the same technical object.
Okay. So once you learn it, you can use it for everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's nice. And once we develop something for the buying side, we can also use it for the selling side, which is quite logical, I think, because, I mean, well, we have both customers, right? The buying and the selling side, and they have the same agreements with each other. So it's kind of logical that we can have that in the same view. And don't get confused. So the name is freight agreement, but it's working for both freight and forwarding agreement and also for the internal settlement, internal
agreements,
Okay. What do I define in that? Maybe let's start with a freight agreement. I think the forwarding agreement is then very similar. Mm-hmm. What would I define there? You already mentioned the business partners involved, right?
Yes. So the most important things in a freight agreement would be the organization and the business partner.
Mm-hmm.
So since we are talking about the freight or the... so here we would actually define a purchasing org and... A business partners would be the carriers.
Okay.
So these are the main two things which are looked at when a freight order, for example, wants to pick up this agreement for charge calculation.
Okay. Yeah. That also maps right in the freight or booking order. We also have the carrier, which is the party that I subcontract to, and we have the purchase org determined in different ways.
Exactly.
And that must already match. But it's not enough, right? I could have multiple freight agreements for the same purchase org and
the same carriers.
Okay, so there must be more that I can define there, right?
Yes. So the other thing now is a priority. You could have different priorities on your agreements, and based on this priority, the agreements would be picked up.
Okay.
And then there are a lot of other conditions also. So they are configurable, actually. We call them the preconditions. So so all these agreements, you have to define a freight or a forwarding agreement type, and then you can create the corresponding objects. So against every agreement type, you can define that I want these preconditions. So just as an example, a precondition could be a mode of transport.
Don't have to. So I could also configure high level a freight agreement across all modes, but typically maybe I would do it mode specific, right?
Yeah. So there's no compulsion. It just depends on what you have defined in the configuration for the preconditions in the agreement type.
Okay. Validities? Since it's a contract, I also have validities.
Yes.
That is kind of a precondition, but also a validity in itself, right?
Yes. So an agreement has an overall validity. And so now we move into the next part, which is the agreement items. So agreement items could also have validities.
Okay, but let's stay for a moment on the freight and forwarding agreement level. I think just interesting enough. So we would define just high level the business partners involved, the priority, a business validity also. So from two, and that just asking. That validity is then checked against the calculation date of the freight order, right? Because we have tons of times in our document, but here the calculation date is relevant.
So the calculation date should fall within the validity of the agreement.
Must, right? That's a must check. Yes. That's not a, And then I define the precondition on the freight agreement, freight and forwarding.
Freight or forwarding.
Agreement level. So and that is very flexible, right? I think you have some predefined things. You have parties, conditions can be used for filtering that.
Yes. So there are rules also that you could use. We have, it's called the preconditions. So there can be exclusion rules also. So if in certain conditions you want to exclude this agreement from being picked up, you can have that.
Okay.
And there could be business partner based, or there are a lot of criteria on which you could define a condition for this agreement getting picked up.
But all that is basically to define, is that specific agreement valid for that specific freight order?
Exactly.
Because just, okay, coming back to your calculation history, for one freight order, if I calculate charges, I find exactly one freight agreement, or could I find multiple?
You could find multiple. If you do find multiple, then the priority comes into picture. But always when charge calculation happens, it's just one freight agreement.
One freight or forwarding agreement. On my way, I may visit some freight agreements, but finally it's one.
It is zeroed down to, or you just pick up one agreement.
And something went wrong, it's zero. If you want to do charges, okay. Yeah. But it's one calculation has one freight agreement. Then we have some hard checks like the validity and the business partner. So there's no, you cannot use a freight agreement for a different business partner. Then you flexibly define the other preconditions for the whole freight agreement. And then the first or the priority where all preconditions are fulfilled with a, okay, highest priority, which means the lowest priority number, right?
Yeah.
So prior one is the most important
prior one is the most.
Just to.
First picked up.
Just, yeah. For the records, okay. Would be selected then.
Yes.
Okay, good. Is there anything more that we should know about the freight forwarding agreement, or is it that pretty much the task of the agreement on that?
That pretty much covers it, except that we can also have something called multi-party agreements.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want one-to-one correspondence between an organization and a business partner, or if it is the case that this particular agreement and this scheme of charges is valid for a lot of organizations and business partners.
For both sides. So if I could say, okay, I have one agreement with a carrier, and that is for 10 or for all my purchase orgs of.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Okay.
And vice versa.
Okay. And both.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is something which we call a multi-party agreement. Mm-hmm. And you just have to select a flag when you are defining your agreement type to specify that it's going to be a multi-party agreement.
Okay. It's agreement type that is customizing, right? And then it would be, okay. You would define there if that agreement type is generally available, or can agreements based on that type would be multi-party or not. And then I would be able to enter multiple parties, but the same rules would apply. Except for that I have multiple parties.
Yes.
Where, okay. That's simple. I can understand. That's good. Good. So that's it then for the freight forwarding agreement high level.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So maybe we can deep dive then into the next level, which is the calculation sheet, right? So in the freight agreement, I could have then one or multiple calculation sheets.
Yes, you could have multiple calculation sheets, but again, exactly one calculation sheet is picked up during charge calculation. So these calculation sheets could be attached to something called agreement items.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have several agreement items, which would again have a set of preconditions, a validity.
So I would have my agreement. With agreement items, multiple items, okay?
Yes.
And within one item, I would have one calculation sheet?
Yes.
Okay. So that is kind of a mini sub-agreement or so, you could say, or so that you say, okay, I found my agreement, but now I want to go into my, let's say, North America, let's say, let's take an example. So the typical agreement would be maybe something for ocean, I'm a shipper, maybe, freight agreement, and it would be for ocean, with my forwarding, freight forwarder, and it would be, let's say, maybe Europe to North America. That would be, would that be a typical granularity of a freight agreement? I know everything is possible, but is that a level of granularity that could be considered typical, or?
Yeah, that can be considered a common scenario.
Okay.
In this case, what would happen is if it's a zone-to-zone mapping. So what we do is we have different items. And in this case, the condition for a particular item getting picked up could be something as simple as a trade lane.
Okay. So I would have that agreement, a big agreement,
yes.
Europe to North America, but then specifically for the trade lane, Germany or Hamburg-Rotterdam range or something,
yeah.
to US East Coast or say New York, Boston that range,
yeah.
that would be one agreement item then.
Yeah.
And there would be a complete different one, say from France to Mexico. That is same freight agreement, but a different item.
Yeah.
Okay. And that item has a prerequisite, has again that, what was it called? The preconditions, right?
Exactly.
So kind of filtering.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So again, these preconditions also you can configure against the agreement type.
Hmm?
So if you say I want service level to be one of the preconditions for picking up a particular agreement item.
Hmm.
So that can be configured. And you could have different agreement items based on whether it is pre-carriage or main carriage or on carriage.
Okay, so I think in principle, again, since I have that flexible preconditions again within that freight agreement, I would then find an item. Let me guess, it has a priority also? Or so same pattern as finding the freight agreement. I have within the freight agreement then the item, and the target would be to have for different services within that same agreement or different geography or combination of both. So for dangerous goods, I may have a very special one that is but then globally or potentially.
Yeah.
And then I have it for standard containers. If you know, same would apply for road then.
Yeah.
I would have other agreement items, and then that agreement item has a link to that calculation sheet. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So with each agreement item, you could attach a calculation sheet, which is a collection of charges.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of different possibilities in a calculation sheet as well. So we have something called a
Sorry for me being a bit slow on that one.
Okay.
So so we have the agreement that has a calculation sheet. The target or the function of the calculation sheet was to have a list of all possible revenue prices that could happen within that item. Yeah. So because I found my agreement, I found my specific item that is valid for that specific booking or freight order.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a list of possible charge. Is it charge element then, or is that wrong term? or it will be a charge element. What is an item in the calculation sheet, or
it would eventually be a charge element once the charges are calculated in the order. So in the calculation sheet we just called it a charge type.
Okay,
so it just has different charge types in every line item. So
okay, so I would have a list of line items, and they can later be a charge element to translate that back. And that is then also something that really shows up in charge, because the freight agreement is, and also that item, and also the calculation sheet is not really an element in the, or it's not directly mapped to something in the charges then, right?
No, it won't be directly mapped, but you could always refer back to it.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. But what actually happens is that I then have my, in the calculation sheet, I have my charge type, and every charge type can make it, if he's lucky enough, into a charge element later. In the
yes.
Okay. Good. So, and that's a list now of potential elements that I could have.
Yeah.
Let me guess, there is some preconditions on that?
Yeah.
Because not every charge item is relevant for every...
Exactly.
Okay.
But the list is not as big as the list of preconditions that you can have in an agreement item or an agreement header.
Okay.
But
because I'm already kind of fine-tuned, right, on a detailed level already. I already did quite some filtering. Okay.
Yeah. So we have dangerous goods or buyer's consolidation kind of checks on every charge type. So depending on the scenario, that charge type would or would not be included. In the order, when the charges are calculated for that order.
Okay, so that is kind of the copy rule. Would that calculation, was it charge type, right?
Charge type,
that charge type become relevant, or is that relevant for,
exactly,
for that specific freight order, booking order, or not? Okay, that's again a filter.
Yeah.
Okay, and then if I remember right, we said I could already have a price for that item in here. In a very simplistic scenario, I have like a flat price. Then I would already have that price in that element if it's simple enough.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else in that calculation sheet or in that charge types that I can define? We already said the preconditions again, right?
Yes. So basically in the calculation sheet items, again, you have a few different kind of items. So whenever we say we are associating a charge type with a calculation sheet item, it's a standard line item. Mm-hmm. But we have, so we have something else called subtotal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say one line item as a subtotal, and below that you can have you can basically group your charge types, mm-hmm. which are relevant to add up to a subtotal.
Ah, so you have like an item or charge type hierarchy then that you...
Yes, sort of.
Okay, so that it kind of depends. Is that multi-level or one level?
It can be multi-level.
Okay, so you can say that charge type consists of that two subcharge types.
Yes.
Do we have an example for that, maybe, just to make it easier for me? Or
Right now I cannot think of anything, but...
Okay, maybe.
So, okay, maybe I'll come back to it when
we come back later to that. So, but
and,
so it's hierarchical, so, and then you on the grouping level, you would have then the result of the sub items later in the calculation. But first, here we only define the rules, right? We are in the calculation sheet where we don't maintain the results already, but more the way how to come to the result.
Exactly,
right? Okay.
So apart from subtotals, we could also have something like, so there's a possibility to maintain an instruction type. Now what that says is, if I have a line item saying compare higher or lower values,
mm-hmm.
what it would do is, if I have three different charge types below it and I say you have to pick up the lowest value, then during charge calculation, it would calculate the charges for all the three charge types, whichever is the lowest would be picked up.
Okay.
And
on the, that's hopefully on the buying side, huh? On the selling side, you should not choose the highest, maybe.
Yeah, so you can maintain it to pick up either the highest or the lowest value.
Depends on your contract. Then,
right? Yes.
Ah, okay. So you could say I have like three alternative surcharges for something, and then and that is then again, and then on the sub or on the main item level, on grouping item level, I would then define which of those sub items.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Or alternatively, I could also sum them up, or you already mentioned that, right?
Yes. So it could. So basically, a calculation sheet, the first line item in a calculation sheet would be a sum of all the charge types that are below it. Now, under the sum, you could have subtotals, or you could have these high or low values, etc.
Ah, okay.
So or you could just have standard
Line items. And that would also allow that you have, like, say, two different. Two subtotals then, and then which are then again a sum of their trials.
Yes.
And then, but on the higher level, you would decide between the two subtotals if you would consider the higher, the lower, or both again.
Yes.
Okay, so you can kind of build up your costs, and on every level, you can between two items. How would I group that two items then? Because I think the sum could have like 10 sub-items,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that alternative evaluation is something between two of them, right?
So it has to belong to one group for compare high low.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you would have like three line items, mm-hmm. one the sum sum line, then you would have a compare high or low instruction type,
mm-hmm.
below which you could have your... one or actually two or more charge types out of which you want to pick the highest or the lowest.
You define the grouping item?
Yes.
And then in the grouping item, you define the rule, and below that you have the sub-items.
You can have one or more children for that particular item.
And then that can theoretically go down till an eternity.
Yes.
But okay, you wouldn't do that.
So there are huge calculation sheets actually having around 150 line items or so. So in those cases, all this grouping and subtotaling, etc., would make a lot of sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But all within one calculation sheet.
All within one calculation sheet.
Okay. I see. Do I also have validity so for that calculation sheet within the freight agreement, or is that inherits the validity of
the agreement item?
Okay, of the agreement.
So we have a one-to-one correspondence between the agreement item and the calculation sheet. So the validity from the agreement item would be inherited by the calculation sheet also.
Okay, just more technical question. That the agreement item, I think, is a technically a subnode of the freight agreement, right?
Yes.
And the calculation sheet is a separate BO?
Calculation sheet is a separate BO.
And then I would link the two. So in the agreement item, I enter the technical key and of the...
So it's a cross BO association, technically, between the agreement item and the calculation
sheet. That also means I can reuse that same calculation sheet for multiple agreements or agreement items then. Is that correct? Or?
That is possible. So we have two different kinds of calculation sheets. They could be global or they could be local.
Okay.
So if you define a calculation sheet separately, you could use it in a lot of different agreements. If you have a suitable usage code, so while defining a calculation sheet, if you say that you can use it on the buying or selling side, you can use it in freight or forwarding agreements.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so you can define it globally and then a reuse is possible.
Exactly, yeah. Or you could have calculation sheet templates. And then you can create an actual object out of it by just defining the template from which you want to copy it over. So these are the different possibilities for global calculation sheets. And once you are within a particular, so while creating an agreement, from within the agreement, if you create a calculation sheet, then it's a local calculation sheet.
Okay.
So you cannot use it anywhere else in any other agreement.
Okay.
And it would by default inherit the... usage code from the agreement.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't talk about that one. So the forwarding freight and forwarding agreement with its item would be just created, let's say, manually or uplayer or maybe future also. Other ways might be possible. But we're talking about 9.0 now. The calculation sheet now could be created independently and then as a global and then reused within a item, freight agreement item. Agreement item, generally speaking, and then the validity, if I should use it or not, that is then defined in the item and not in the calculation sheet.
The calculation sheet
does not have any preconditions, obviously. Then, okay, or if I created, so I create my forwarding agreement with the item, and then I could also from there create that calculation sheet, but that is then like local and kind of part of the freight agreement.
Exactly.
Forwarding agreement.
So it can be used only in the context of that agreement and not anywhere outside of that.
Okay. So that means you can also kind of start high level and then key in the data from there and kind of forward navigate.
Yes.
The old SAP world. Forward navigation. And create it from within instead of first creating everything and then glue it together later.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was a problem in 6.0, right? That you had to first define everything, then glue it together, you cannot navigate. Okay, that's, is it still new? No. It's different from 6.0 or 7.0 over there. Okay, so now we have the calculation sheet with the charge types included. We talked about that grouping, then with this rules, if I summarize or take alternatives, lowest or highest value. Calculation sheet can be globally reused or can be defined from within a freight forwarding agreement. Anything else we have to know about the calculation sheet as such or its trials?
So a couple of different things about each of these line items now. Okay, so we would start moving slowly into the next object also, the rate table.
Rate table, okay. Should I set a chapter mark already?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into
so
the rate
before,
table.
So before going into the rate table, then a couple of things here. So like you mentioned, we could directly have a number assigned against a charge type directly, the cost or the revenue for that particular charge type. What we can also do in a calculation sheet line item is have it as a reference to some other line. For example, the discount would be X percentage of the basic freight charges. So
maybe just my minimum charge setup for charges, maybe that's also something if you start with charges you'd be interested in, would be I would have a freight agreement for my carrier and my AUG unit. I would have calculation sheet within it with one charge type, which is a fixed price. I think that is as simple as it can be. So I would have one freight agreement with one item with no specific preconditions, but only my business partner and carrier. Mm-hmm. And in that calculation sheet, I have one item with just a flat price.
Yeah.
I think that is a minimum.
Yes, that is the very basic, the most basic setup.
Okay, good.
And now if you want to just complicate it a little bit.
Yes, always.
We have something called a calculation rule. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is, for example, you have to define not directly a charge, but a rate for that particular charge type.
Mm-hmm.
So one option is obviously having a rate table.
Yeah.
If you want to simply handle it in the calculation sheet itself, you can say something like, I want to charge 50 euros per 100 kgs.
Okay. And that is already without any rate table. I could define that.
Yes.
Per pound rate or per mile rate also?
Yeah.
Okay.
What you can do is you can have a calculation base against a charge type. So calculation base is nothing but the different dimensions on which your rates would vary. So it could be weight, distances, business partners, service levels. Equipment type, all those kind of things. So there is a big list of the standard delivered calculation bases that we have. So any one of them you can use to define a calculation rule.
Okay. So the calculation base is basically the input that comes from a freight order, or is filled by the input of a freight order with the total distance. If you're on header level, maybe also we have to come to that if it's header level or item or stage level, where that is defined a bit later. But first approach would be I have the calculation base as an input. Let's say first we start with header level, and then I could have, if it's a distance, for example, a per mile rate or per kilometer or per kg rate. Okay.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, we can have a resolution base also assigned to every charge type.
Okay. Resolution base means on which level I want to calculate that item, right? We are now on that charge type.
On that
which
charge
is
type.
One kind of item in the calculation sheet, right?
Yes.
Okay, per charge type, I define if am I a route or stage or item.
Yes. Okay. So then that charge type would be applied those many times while calculating charges.
Mm-hmm. So if I define it on, for example, per stage, then if I have two stages,
it would be applied for every stage that you have in the order.
Okay.
So.
And then I would have a that input, that calculation base distance for the stage would be, if I have two stages, if I have a total distance of 250 and the first is 100 miles or kilometers and the second one is 150, then obviously, then if on route level, that calculation base would be distance, but 150, and on stage level, 100 and 150. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say 150 on route level. So on route level, it's 250 then, the sum of the stages.
Yeah, the sum of
So within, I'm slow on that, in the calculation, I have the item, and there I define route, item, stage. Anything else? No, that's those three, right?
There's a set of possibilities, but these are the commonly used ones.
And then I can also already within that calculation type, I can already define the calculation rule. You call it calculation rule?
Yes, yeah.
And in a simplistic case where I just have a per mile rate, I wouldn't need a rate table or so. I just would take a fixed per mile rate applicable, not globally, but
always
within that.
Yeah,
always, if I find that specific agreement item, then I take that rate. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not only that I can define a flat price, that would be one calculation rule, just the flat price, but I could also define a rule that I calculate something.
Yes.
You would take care of that unit conversion also if it's defined per kilometer
In the order, if it is in miles or something, then the conversion happens before the charge calculation takes
place. Anyway, that's input from my side. So in the BO and TOR, forwarding order, we always, the distances are always stored in kilometers.
Okay.
And but then on the UI, it can be converted, mm-hmm. or on charges, I think you can also define a per mile rate, and then it would be converted into miles. Yeah, for quantities, it's a bit different. You can then define the default types and customizing, so it's not hard coded.
Yes.
But durations are always seconds, and then distance. Kilometers, so go metric.
The same thing would happen with the currency conversion also. You could define your amount in a different currency, and if the document currency for the order is different, there would be a conversion before the charge calculation takes place.
Okay, so yeah, document currency is nothing I would define in an agreement somewhere, but I just would define a price and then what currency it is converted to, then but okay, today master data is more the focus, so there is no currency you have to maintain there. So we said we had one calculation time, or calculation rule was just take a fixed price, one was per mile per distance rate, and the next one would be then already a link to a rate table, or
so the next possibility is having a full blown rate table behind every charge type.
Okay, when would I do that?
So, for example, you have a lot of source destination pairs in the agreement, and the rates are different based on where the order is originating and where is it going.
If I go downtown New York, it's or end up downtown New York, I think it's also a question. It's more expensive per mile. Rate is different from if I go somewhere in Ohio or somewhere. Because there are different implications. I think the reason is because it's hard to drive in New York, or I have no business back from Ohio. So I think that is where it comes from, right? And I think in the US it's also, or for the optimizer, we also made an enhancement for that US discourse thing, because I think it's really the difference if the last stop, or where the last stop is, that defines the per mile rate for the complete transportation. So you can be cheaper to drive more miles, but end up in a cheap area versus having the more efficient way, but you end up in a another area. But I think that's all related to backhauls and so on. Okay. So if I have that kind of scenario, so that I coming from two, I have a different, per mile rate, then I would need a rate table, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So again, as I said earlier, a rate table can have maximum up to 9 dimensions. So basically what we do is we form a matrix of all the possibilities. With, if you want to include, so if your rates could vary depending on the weight breaks, then weight would be a dimension in your rate table. The source and the destination location could be a dimension in the rate table. So using all these dimensions, we form a list of all the different combinations. And then a matrix is presented on the UI where you can fill in the rates.
Okay, so I could then say for that break weight and that distance and that, what else to fill some more dimensions?
That origin and that destination for this rate and for this distance, this is the rate.
The per mile rate.
So now again, it could be per mile rate, or it can be a fixed amount.
Price
also.
Or even a discount, most likely, right? Let's say for that combination, I find a different discount also.
That is also possible.
So I can again. So now it's coming back. We had the rules before where I said can be a discount or a price, can be per something rate fixed, and all that actual rate the rate per mile thing can then come from a rate table again, so and can be defined based on a lot of different up to 9 dimensions. So I have can have very complex combinations of things just to find my per mile rate.
Yes.
Because that is the reality. And I think fantasy is a limit in freight costing real world. So we have to be pretty flexible on that one. Okay. So the job of the rate table, again, that's a different BO. It's an independent business object.
It's an independent business object.
So same rule like before. So you can have it globally or locally?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So you can have a template, you can have a global rate table, or you can just define it locally within a calculation sheet.
Okay. Very similar to the calculation sheet. Oh, okay. Yes. So I like that same pattern again. easier to understand. And then from that, I would find, again, the my rate, the actual price, the discount. That is then the actual calculation rule considered, right?
Yes. Okay. So now a rate table also has a lot of validities. So what you can do is, so usually what happens is in cases like, for example, in winters, the rates would be higher, in summers, the rates would be lower. So in those kind of situations, what you can do is you can define two different validities. Then you would have two different sets of rates, one possibly lower than the other. And then depending on the calculation date, the rate with the correct validity would be picked up.
Okay, coming back. So we have one freight agreement for summer and winter. I have two agreement items in there with each has a calculation sheet. And I think one option would be to have two different, or then I would have two different items with one winter and one summer validity. And
validities.
Each would then have a different calculation sheet behind. Okay, there's no validity within the calculation sheet really, right? That is the job of the charge item.
So you can have, so there are a lot of different levels on which you can have validity, obviously at the agreement route level at the agreement item level. Calculation sheet route level, you would not have any validity, but there is a validity at the charge item level, the charge type level. So you can say you can have a validity for a particular charge type, and that would be applied only if the calculation date falls within the validity.
Okay, validity or rule of validity, like summer, winter, kind of. Okay.
Yeah. And then one level further down, you could have validities on the rate table also.
Okay, so if I have a charge item or charge type, which points to rate table, then this rate table might be not relevant. And then that implicitly that charge type is also not relevant, or?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So if there is a rate table attached to a particular charge type and no rate is found for any reason, then that charge type does not appear in the final calculated charges.
Okay. Unless, because that is an automatic, there are also manual charge types, right? Then also, so far we all talked about a lot of automatic calculation, but you could also define one as manual, or I assume?
That is also possible. So there is a flag on the calculation sheet item where you can say it's a manual charge type.
Okay.
And then, so basically what that flag would allow you to do is you can enter the logistical information for that particular charge type in the charges grid in an order. So for example, the chargeable weight doesn't have to come from the order. You can directly manually enter it within the charges grid.
Okay, and that could be then considered for the calculation again, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that chargeable weight would also be an item in the calculation, a charge type in the calculation sheet. Is that correct? Sorry for asking stupidly. And then that would work as an input for another charge type that does the actual calculation then, or?
That is also a possibility.
Okay. Very flexible.
Yeah, it's actually there are a lot of possible ways in which you can set up a calculation sheet. So, this is also possible referencing to some other charge type. You can say always say that this charge type is a some percentage of another charge type.
Or is it five times or five euro per another charge type, and that would be then the chargeable weight manually entered.
Yes.
Okay. So I can also link, not only that I can group the items and kind of sum them up or some, but I can also use the result of one charge type as input for the calculation of the other.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. Impressed. Nice. Good. Yeah, I think I got it so far. So we have now the different charge types, which may or may not use a rate table, but if they use a rate table, we already talked about the dimension of that rate table, and the job of that rate table is to find the actual applicable per mile rate or so, or maybe even the input. And the last missing piece now is the scales, and I would use them in the rate table, right? So
yes,
maybe you could explain a bit on that one as well.
Yeah, so whenever we speak about dimensions in a rate table, technically it is a scale object. So if you say that source location is one of the dimensions in my rate table, then you have to set up a scale which has the scale base of a location. So you can look at it this way. You can have a scale for weight, and then you can use it either as a chargeable weight, net weight, gross weight. So different flavors of that same scale base. So now we have two things. We have scale bases and we have calculation bases. So it's basically a specialization example. So if you have a weight, if you have a weight scale, you can use it as a basis for a chargeable weight calculation or gross weight calculation, net weight calculation, etc. Similarly, if you have a location based scale, you can use that scale for source locations, destination locations, etc. If you say so now, when you start defining a scale, you have to enter a scale base, which are again configurable, and we have a big list of the standard delivered scale bases also. And
again, scale base would be like calculation base, so the input from the BO stem, right? Maybe could you just some examples for scale base? Would be source location, right? Or
so a scale base would be something as simple as a location or weight or distance. And the calculation base that you build on top of it could be specializations of that scale base. So it could be so when you specifically say that it's a source location or a destination location, or in the case of weights, if you say it's, or in case of distances, for example, if you say it's the actual distance or the straight line distance.
Okay.
So these are the different calculation bases built on top of a scale base.
Okay. So scale base is a kind of pure input?
Yes.
Okay. And the calculation base is, okay.
So scale base is nothing but a basic mathematical dimension, actually.
Okay.
And then calculation base gives it a little bit of a business meaning, in the sense that what kind of logistical information do you want to use to calculate it?
Okay. So it's a scale base now, right?
Yes.
Which is the basis for scales.
Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, if you have a scale based on locations, you would have scale items which would have a set of different locations in it.
Okay. So I would define a scale for my different plants, for example.
Yes.
Okay. So I would maybe now it gets complicated for me. So maybe we can use an example. So I say I want to have a rate table which is based or which considers my different source plants. Yeah, maybe let's start as simple as that. So then I would have to set up a scale with a scale base.
Exactly, with scale base as location. And when you use this scale in the rate table, you have to say that you want to use the calculation base source location.
Source location, that's a specialization. Okay. But in the scale itself, what can I define as the scale itself? Maybe take it start from there.
So there can be, so now if you look at it, there can be two different kinds of scales. It could be numeric for something like weights or distances, or it could be non-numeric for something like locations, business partners, etc.
Okay.
So
discrete values then kind of.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So if it is a numeric scale, then while defining the scale items, you can have, different points on those scale. For example, you can have a scale for every 10 units, 100 units, 1000 units, etc. So if you have a scale per 10 units, you would define the scale items as 0, 10, 20, 30, etc. So that basically defines the granularity at which you would want to eventually calculate the charges.
Okay, we are still at scale, just sorry. Mm-hmm. It's then used as input in the rate table. So if I want to say I want per every 10 kg, I would have that price jumps, so to say. Yeah, yeah. Different. Then, or per 100 pound or something, mm-hmm. then I would set up a scale mm-hmm. with that range from 0 to 100, 100 to 200.
Yes.
And that already, that values, 100, 200, that would already be defined in that scale.
Exactly.
Which again so can be globally.
These values, and, okay. 100, 200, are called the scale items.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, again, they could be, it can be local or global.
Mm-hmm.
But now with Nino, we have a concept of validity dependent scale items.
Mm-hmm.
So within a rate table, we have different validities, and mm-hmm. each validity would have its own copy of scale items.
Mm-hmm.
So it is more of a technical nature, but if you look at it from a business perspective, you can say that, for example, in the winters, always the weights that are transported are below 5,000 kgs, for example.
Okay.
So the validity which you would have created for winter months would have only scale items which are below 5,000 kgs.
Mm-hmm.
For something which is for a summer validity, those particular scale items would have higher than 5,000 values.
Okay.
Just as an example. So. Mm-hmm.
So I would have two different
set of scales. Yes.
Or scale item. Within one scale, I could have two set of scale items. Then.
Yeah, which and are valid for different validities in a rate table.
Back to validities.
Then. Back okay. to validities.
I see. Ah, okay. But the okay, that would be like two sets. Let's say logically, it's like two scales then, but you can maintain them together.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then that is one option, that you have like a rate range. It always means, okay, between 0 and 100,
mm-hmm.
use that one. 100, 200, use that one.
Yeah.
Per mile, per kg, per pound.
Yes.
Right? That's for the numeric values. And the other one?
The other one is non-numeric. So in mm-hmm. the numeric case, it's also possible to generate these scale items automatically.
Okay.
Right. So mm-hmm. yeah, if you say your step size is 100 okay. always, mm-hmm. you say your starting point is 500.
Mm-hmm.
And the end point is 1,000. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Where if it's 10,000 or something, then it would automatically generate scale items with values 500, 1,000, 1,500, and so on and so
okay.
forth.
Okay. So you don't have to do that.
Yeah. You don't have to do that manually.
Okay.
So this was for the numeric. And then for non-numeric scale items, you would have to specifically enter scale items, the location IDs.
Okay.
In case of a location scale, or the business partner IDs in case of a business partner, okay. and so on and so forth.
Then I could use that list scale in a rate, one or multiple rate tables.
Yes. So okay. what happens in a rate table is we always create a local copy of any. So you can say that use this as a reference scale in my rate table.
Hmm.
But we always create a local copy for those scale items for my rate table.
Okay.
So it's possible to define a global scale also. Eventually, mm-hmm. technically, it would form a local copy for that particular rate table.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that enough for the scales? Thinking that this is now a high level, maybe give some nice thing. Maybe one last topic I would just briefly want to touch with you, and that is the if we are complete now with mm-hmm. the objects, but I think we touched so far. High level everything. The upload of master data. I know there's an Excel upload. There are customers with huge Excel files.
Yes.
And what is there a BAPI? Well, what are the ways of getting my freight agreement into the system? Since so far I might have an external system for the actual agreement freight procurement mm-hmm. or the strategic freight procurement or selling.
Yeah.
Solution. So let's say from there, I could have to bring it into my TM mm-hmm. system. Then, funny, what? How do I do that? Okay, one we already talked. I can key it in. That is one option,
yeah.
right? The other options.
Actually, for agreements and calculation sheets, we don't have this possibility in the system as of now.
Mm-hmm.
There is no possibility to kind of import values and then create an agreement or a calculation sheet in the TM system.
But I think the beef is really also more on the right tables and the scales, right? Because I wouldn't have that many, or not a huge rate agreement, not a huge calculation sheet, but then rate tables can be okay.
So a certain level of complexity can be handled by calculation sheet templates, if that is at all possible. So we have templates which you could use to, if you have the same structure of charges, then the templates could be used. But rate tables are really huge. I mean, there could be millions of entries in one single rate table. So
I heard it.
So it is quite tedious to actually enter it in the rate UI that we have as of now. So we have this Excel upload possibility. So this is applicable for rate tables and then the scales which are consumed in this rate table. So what you can do is you can define the skeleton of a rate table in the TM system. So you can say that my rate table would have these five dimensions, for example. And then you can download an Excel version of this rate table. So the downloaded Excel would actually give you a grid of all these five dimensions and a rate value. So you can on the fly enter the scale items in for each of these dimensions and then assign a rate value to it, save this Excel and then upload it back to the system. So it can be done online or there's a possibility of offline uploads also.
That's because of the huge files, right?
That you... So if the file is too huge, sometimes even 15 minutes are not enough to upload the file. In those cases, we have a offline upload possibility.
Okay, so you use... just being curious, how do you do that? So where do you store that?
We first upload the file to the application server and then we run a job to read that file and then upload
and
the
then interpret it and good. So I think we have 1 hour, and which is good length, I think, for one episode. So I would say that's it, right? So is there no more questions in the room? I think we hopefully touched pretty much everything. Thanks a lot. So I learned a lot today. So now I can, tomorrow I will start with my own little thread agreement with some basic calculations. I think now I learned enough to do that. Thanks a lot. And any closing words you want to say?
So now we have kind of just touched upon the highlights in each of these objects. There are a lot more possibilities and a lot more intervention points where you can set up the data to make the charge calculation engine pick up rates in a different way. So there is a lot of detailed stuff with for example, with calculation methods or calculation rules for every scale item, etc.
But so, I think that would be then another episode or maybe too much for today. But I think
So as higher level, these were the basically frequently used features for all the master data objects.
Good. Thanks a lot. So everybody on the, whatever, phone, on a radio. Can now start building up the old charges. And then let's see if we can maybe do some follow-up sessions on the advanced TCM master data and then also calculation setting. Thanks a lot and goodbye.